Shumai, hello. Welcome then to the first ever Welsh Historian podcast. I know it's something that some of you guys have been asking me to do, and I have been a little bit reluctant to do it, mainly because I felt like it was moving away from the whole point of my Twitter feed, which was to create smaller, more accessible pieces of history, but I decided to give it a go. So hopefully sat here using my iPhone in my front room, this will be an acceptable beginning. For you guys who are interested in hearing something different. And we're going to begin today then with the first in a series on Welsh princes or kings or leaders, however you want to refer to them. And the first one we're going to look at is Cynedda. And Cynedda in itself comes from, the name Cynedda comes from a Brythonic word meaning having good hounds or good hound or warrior. So Cynedda may have been the grandson of Padan Beisereith. Now, Padan may have been the leader of Romano-British Vortadini troops in the Clackmannanshire region of modern Scotland. It's possible that he was given this post by the Roman Emperor Maxim Vledig, also known as Magnus Maximus. Now, Magnus would have been very familiar with the British Isles, having been senior in 380 AD, proclaimed emperor by his troops in 383 just 3 years later, and then in the same year departed the British Isles to enforce this claim on the Roman throne with troops from the British garrison. It would be logical then that Cynedda would have inherited this position as the leader of these troops from his grandfather Padan. The main role of these troops was to prevent raids and incursions by Pictish and Irish forces crossing Hadrian's Wall. Now, at this time, the Western Roman Empire certainly is in serious decline, and obviously it's coming under serious pressure from what we used to describe as barbarians, which is now slightly outdated, but essentially tribes from beyond the reaches of the Roman Empire. And obviously Scotland has always been the real northern limit of the Roman Empire, so it would have been one of the first places to come under pressure from these migrating and raiding troops. Now, at some point, these troops, Cynedda's troops, were actually sent to Wales to perform the same role there, in the territory of the Venedotti in northwest Wales, so effectively the territory of Gwynedd. Now, this either happened under the orders of Maxim Vledig or one of his successors as emperor of the Roman Empire, or at the request of Gwythyn, a man that we would know better as Vortigern. And he was a man who was possibly the High King of the British at that time. He was definitely a king of prowess. And it's possible that he invited Cynedda to bring his troops to Wales to help defend the coastline against the raids by tribes from Ireland or from Scotland. For me, it seems unlikely that given the political state of the Roman Empire in the late 4th century that such direct influence could be exercised by an emperor anymore in areas where Rome had little military control. The year that Maxim left Britain is the last recorded evidence of a Roman presence in northern or western Britain, perhaps save the odd outpost on Ynys Mon or in Lancashire. Furthermore, between 364 AD and 400 AD, there are at least 8 Roman emperors in some form. Therefore, it is probable that Cynedda was invited south from the area of Manaw Gododdin, as it was known then, to help secure Wales from attack from familiar Irish foes. Now, I'm using the word Irish very generically here. What I mean is the tribes that inhabited Ireland at that time. Cynedda would have been a logical choice given that he had experience in fighting those types of enemies. And perhaps Cynedda actually felt that moving south would be a better choice than staying in northern Britain, staying in Scotland where Rome's authority was already weakened and this area was already coming under pressure from tribes attempting to force their way in to previously held Roman areas. And that area was especially coming under pressure from the likes of the Angles. It's also a very well-documented fact that leaders and kings would invite other people to come to their kingdom or territory to actually help defend it. We've got countless examples of people using the Saxons, the Vikings, as mercenaries to help defend their territory. Now, early Welsh histories and genealogies are rather fanciful in their scope, and the legend surrounding Cynedda is that he moved to Wales with his sons, sons like Caredig and Meirion, who then went on to found other kingdoms in Wales, such as Ceredigion and Meirionnydd. Now, sadly, these stories were probably invented to justify the claims of Cynedda's descendants on territories outside of the traditional Kingdom of Gwynedd, a kingdom that John Davis describes in A History of Wales as the two banks of the Menai Strait and the coast over towards the estuary of the River Conwy. There's a huge debate over the timelines of Cynedda's life, simply because a lot of the information is unreliable or can be contested, and personal details on Cynedda are sorely missing. Our real main sources are people like Gildas Bede, Nennius, the Anglo-Saxon Chronicles, but these are unfortunately not reliable sources. These are often collections of oral stories or histories written hundreds of years after the events. So we cannot really take these stories at face value. It is claimed, however, that Cynedda had 9 sons, and we do know that he married the daughter of Coilhen, who was at the time the ruler of Eboracum, York to us now, which would have been a politically advantageous marriage. Undoubtedly, though, for me, the greatest legacy of Cynedda is the Kingdom of Gwynedd. Perhaps not as we knew it in the Middle Ages onwards, but certainly the idea of a separate, independent kingdom in northwest Wales. And that's a legacy that has changed not only Wales, but the whole history of this island. So a very brief overview there of Cynedda, and hope you enjoyed it. As I say, there isn't a huge amount of information on Cynedda just because our sources are not very reliable, and also because really there isn't a huge tradition of writing and creating a written history at this time. But I hope that's given you a little insight into his life and some of his achievements. I hope you've enjoyed this, and you'll join me next time as we move on to look at another Welsh king, slightly later on in history, and see you again. Diolch yn fawr iawn.